Hey there, listeners. This is Jenny Rose Spouto. Before we get to today's episode, which I know you're going to love, I want to take a moment to tell you about a special offer we want to give you. It's called the Deluxe Prayer Bundle. With it, you're going to get a Charisma subscription. That's our Charisma print magazine, plus 4 Life in the Spirit devotionals and 2 books by John Eckhart. The first one is called Prayers That Break Curses, and the second is Prayers That Rout Demons. Both of these books are excellent add-ons with the series that we're talking about right now with Witchcraft and Deliverance. And all you have to do to get all of these resources for only $36 is go to charismamag.com/journal. Or if you would prefer to call us, that is totally okay. Just call 1-800-749-6500 and mention that you are calling about the Charisma News Podcast Deluxe Prayer Bundle. Again, you can visit charismamag.com/journal or call 1-800-749-6500. Now, let's get to the show. This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose. When many of us think of witchcraft, few of us think of the New Age, but Mike Shreve says that's exactly what the New Age is. Mike was taught how to do Kundalini yoga from a guru, but he soon found out the demonic power behind it. Stay tuned for the interview after this short message. Have you recently gone through a major life event, like a divorce, loss of a loved one, or loss of your job? Have you been experiencing anxiety attacks due to stress-related life events? Are you isolating yourself from your family and friends? By combining biblical wisdom with clinical expertise and mental health, our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation and formulate actionable plans that address the challenges their clients face. The goal is to help your well-being so that you may feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. Faithful Counseling's unique platform holds several advantages over traditional face-to-face therapy, as it allows you the ability to connect with your counselor at any time. Counseling is not limited to individually scheduled sessions, but it can extend to text-based counseling whenever your counselor is marked available. It also gives you the choice of communicating with your counselor in the manner that is most comfortable and convenient for you, whether by phone, video call, or even messaging. It offers you drastically more affordable rates than traditional face-to-face therapy, and it also gives you the assurance that your counselor will be a good fit. You're always welcome to switch to a different counselor if you need to. Just go to faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews and receive 10% off your first month. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. Again, that's faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews. Welcome to the show. This is our next episode in our series on witchcraft and deliverance. Today, I am talking with Mike Shreve. He's a Bible teacher and an evangelist, and with an emphasis on healing and the prophetic. So, Mike, do you want to say hi to our guests?
Well, thank you very much for the invitation to be on your program, Jenny, and I welcome all those who are tuning in to listen. I believe this is going to be very, very informative and important.
Yes, I totally agree. And actually, this interview, I really believe it's going to be fascinating and really eye-opening for a lot of our listeners, because we're talking about witchcraft, but we're talking about a certain aspect of witchcraft that you don't normally think about, and that's the New Age aspect of it. So for those who don't know Mike, he has an incredible testimony of how Jesus rescued him from being entrenched in New Age beliefs. He's been interviewed on Sid Roth, TBN, CTN, and more, and he's written quite a bit for Charisma on our charismamag.com website. So, Mike, why don't we just dive in? Can you tell me about your experience with New Age beliefs and yoga before you knew Jesus?
When I was a college student, I was 18 years old. I was attending Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida. I was a rock musician and also dabbling in drugs, and I had a near-death experience because of that. I felt my soul was leaving my body and I was going into convulsions. It seemed as if I was dying, and it was a very frightening experience, but it awakened me to the reality that I was living a very self-centered life and I had no foundation spiritually. Now, I had been raised in a nominal church, but I'd grown disenchanted with Christianity because I judged Christianity by what I'd been exposed to. And it was a big mega trend in our society back then to get involved in yoga, meditation, Eastern religions, New Age spirituality. I met an Indian guru named Yogi Bhajan. I studied Kundalini yoga under him and eventually became one of his first student teachers. I was teaching yoga at four universities in the Tampa area and also running a yoga ashram. I said all of that so that people will know I have a very in-depth inside knowledge concerning what yoga is. And right, to tie it in with your theme of witchcraft, I was quite surprised, though not shocked and not dismayed by it initially because I was caught up in it, when my guru taught us that yoga was really witchcraft.
Wow.
He called it witchcraft. And he compared it to other forms of witchcraft by calling those who seek to use occult power, illegitimate spiritual power, for evil purposes. He called that black witchcraft. And then he said that's comparable to red witchcraft, which is supernatural power used to manipulate circumstances for selfish purposes. Black witchcraft is evil purposes. Red witchcraft is for selfish purposes. But then manipulating the life force within you in order to achieve God consciousness and become an influential, positive person in the world was called white witchcraft, if you do it through yoga and meditation and various various practices that we were taught in Kundalini yoga. But now that I'm a born-again Christian and filled with the Holy Spirit, I realize there is no such thing as a good kind of witchcraft. Of course, we've been numbed to that in our society because you've got all kinds of cartoon shows for children that make white witches seem to be admirable characters. And even Mickey Mouse wears a sorcerer's hat.
Wow.
But I want to take the audience back to a very plain passage of scripture in Deuteronomy when the children of Israel were entering into the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12, God told them, in no uncertain terms, that when they entered into the land, he said, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Now listen to this next statement, verse 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So God was not giving the land of promise to the Israelite people just because of his commitment to Abraham. But he was also purging the land of false spiritual practices because he knew that would contaminate the children of Israel spiritually. It would hinder them from walking in the truth and eventually cancel out their covenant relationship with God as they became more and more enthralled with these supernatural aspects of false religion. And so God told them it was witchcraft, it was an abomination to the Lord, they were not to partake of it. So I counsel Christians not to do yoga because the basis of it is a completely wrong approach to spirituality. It's illegitimate power. If you get into the deep philosophical side of yoga, the whole purpose, even for the physical exercises and the breathing exercises, which seem harmless and benign, but the reason for them is to prepare a person and empower a person to achieve God consciousness. But in that worldview, and along with a New Age type of viewpoint, God consciousness or Christ consciousness or self-realization, they have a lot of names for it, is really a conscious awareness that you are God.
Oh, wow.
Which is absolutely shocking. It's absolutely the opposite, the antithesis of the truth. And, of course, that traces all the way back to Genesis and the temptation of the serpent to Adam and Eve. If you eat of this, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. And that's still a rampant temptation in the world, in the guise, in the form of the New Age movement and the yoga movement that's going on right now.
Absolutely. And so for those of us who maybe aren't as aware of Kundalini yoga, what is it and why? What makes it different from other types of yoga?
Well, the word yoga means union, and it actually traces to a word that means yoke.
Okay.
And so the whole symbolism of it is that a person doing yoga is being yoked with God or in union with God. But in Hinduism, God is conceptualized as an impersonal life force, not a personal God that will interact with you, but an impersonal level of consciousness, a power, an energy that fills the universe. And you don't pray to Brahman. That's the name the Hindus give it. And I did say it. That
right.
life force is not a he, it's an it. And you don't pray to Brahman. You meditate on that inward spark of divinity until you have this awakening of a realization that you and it are the same. You are God. And so I believe it's dangerous to connect with a worldview that is absolutely based on something that false.
Right.
And so I encourage people to flee from yoga classes and find a better alternative to getting in shape. But you asked what Kundalini yoga was as compared to the others. The simplest form of yoga is Hatha yoga, and that involves what's called the asanas, which are physical exercises, and pranayama, which are breathing exercises. Then there's many different divisions of yoga. You have karma yoga, which is the yoga of good deeds, doing good to other people, and it will come back to you, and eventually you are freed from the cycle of reincarnation as a result, because you don't have negative karma to reap from bad behavior. And so karma yoga is focused on that. Mantra yoga is focused on the chanting of Hindu mantras, Sanskrit mantras, in order to come into oneness with God, supposedly. Then you have Raja yoga, which is more of an approach of meditation, contemplation, and also the reading of various sacred books that are supposed to be inspired or supposedly inspired. And then you have Kundalini yoga. Now, Kundalini yoga claims to be an amalgamation of all the other yogas and fused together into one system. However, the primary focus of Kundalini yoga, now this is going to get frightening to someone that's barely or not at all exposed to the doctrine behind yoga, it's primarily focused on something called, an event called, the awakening of the Kundalini. Now, what is that? The word Kundalini means serpent power.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, Jenny, it's way out. It's way out there. And thank God delivered me from it back in 1970. But it means serpent power, and it's a symbol of a supposed coiled energy at the base of the spine. that rises up through the chakras during meditation or during the chanting of mantras or during even the asanas, the physical exercises. It's all focused on awakening this serpent power that rises up through the chakras. Now, I need to put a little footnote here. I don't believe in chakras now. Mm-hmm. I have met people involved in Christian yoga that dare to say they believe in chakras. And I don't see how you can claim to be a Christian and claim to believe in that, because to believe in the chakras is also to believe in the serpent power.
And what are the chakras?
The chakras are supposedly, and again, this is what they believe, not mm-hmm. what I believe.
Right.
But 7 energy centers in the body.
Okay.
And 5 of them are along the spine. The 6th one, a lot of people are familiar with, that's called the 3rd eye in the center of the forehead. And then the 7th one is called the crown chakra. Well, during meditation, this snake-like, viper-like power supposedly rises up through the spine until it strikes. That's the symbolism of it, the crown chakra. And that's when you go out into oneness with God and a realization that you are God. Well, it's demon possession.
Oh, wow.
It's demon possession. And there are many sincere, God-loving people that are involved in it. And so we can't, if we're trying to witness to somebody in the New Age or involved in yoga, you can't come at it fiercely and bluntly like I am right now, or you turn them off. And I'm talking this clearly right now because I know the majority of people listening to this show are people committed to a Christian worldview who can be influential in their community. You have to approach it a little bit different direction, but you have to realize caught in the web of the New Age and Eastern religions are many sincere people that are sincerely looking for a valid supernatural experience with God, and they're being duped by the devil. But you can't tell them that because they react very negatively to talking about the devil or hell or some of the subjects that New Agers tend to recoil from.
Right.
And so you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove to bring them into the kingdom.
But now you actually mentioned, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned you actually had a demonic encounter because of your involvement in yoga. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I have met other people through the years that had much more pronounced deliverances from the demonic powers they had been involved in than I did. I did not go through a heavy extended period of going through deliverance. God was very quick in cleansing me. He was very quick in loosing me from those demons. And about a month, though, after I was saved, I was laying in bed one night reading the Bible very late at night. And I know this sounds off the wall and strange to people, but I had the experience. I cannot deny it. I looked up and I saw this cloudy ball about the size of a large grapefruit, or half the size of a basketball. And it came through the wall.
Oh, wow.
And it was on the opposite side of the room. Yes, very intense. It was on the opposite side of the room. It was throbbing like a pulsation, say, of a human heart. It was throbbing like that. And then all of a sudden, I knew intuitively it was a demon spirit. It rushed across the room, slammed into my forehead, and started trying to suck my soul out of my body. And immediately I realized that this was the demon I had yielded to when I did meditation. Because during my time in yoga, I had some astral projection experiences. And to this day, I don't really know if I literally left my body or just had the sensation that I left my body. But the times it happened to me, I would have this sense that my soul went outside of my body and was traveling through what New Agers call the astral realm. And one time I went into white light, where this intense, brilliant light was all around me, so intense it was brighter than the sun. but it gave me the sense that I was becoming one with this impersonal force. So it was an impersonation of the true God. Jesus said, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he did say, I am the door, and all who came before me are thieves and robbers. And I believe all of the teachers stemming from a Hindu worldview can trace their lineage back to yogis and swamis for hundreds of years sometimes. But all of them are thieves and robbers in this sense. They may not consciously be trying to be in that role of a thief or a robber, but they are stealing from Jesus the position that only he can fill. And that is the door to an experience of union with God. And they claim to be able to draw their disciples into an experience of a union with God, but they are thieves and robbers, stealing a position from him that only he can fill. And so it, we see this huge, huge mega trend in our society. I have people call me from all over the world who have just attended yoga classes just to get in shape. And they tell me they were like sitting in a room and the whole class started chanting Om. And so they just meditated on Jesus while that was going on. But they started having these demonic manifestations in their body. And it got out of control, and they need deliverance. Well, anyway, let me tell you what happened to me. Maybe somebody out there can be helped by this. So this spirit slammed into my forehead and started trying to pull me out of my body. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. I felt like I was a victim, and impossible for me to breathe. But then I remembered one of my teachers taught me, if you ever have a confrontation with a demon, either directly or in another person, claim the blood of Jesus. I had a wrong perception of it back then. I thought I was pulling something to myself that was outside of me. And claiming the blood of Jesus was like claiming a covering. Now I realize that the blood of Jesus flows through every child of God constantly.
Right.
And when you're claiming, it's not a request that the blood come to you. It's an affirmation that you're always being washed in the blood of Jesus 24/7. Because Jesus said, except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in him. If you drink the blood of Jesus, it becomes inseparably a part of you. In my mind, I couldn't open my mouth, but in my mind, I said, I claim the blood of Jesus. I claim the blood of Jesus. And about the third time I thought that, this power ripped off of my forehead and hovered about a foot in front of me, throbbing now like it was angry at me. And then I could talk. And in a loud voice, I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I claim the blood of Jesus. Depart from me. And it fled from the room. And I never had a confrontation with any of the demons from my past false spiritual worldview after that. I was free from that point forward. But the Kundalini is nothing to play with. And like I mentioned earlier in the program, I have met people who are part of groups that claim to be Christian yoga groups, which I personally believe is an oxymoron. There's no way you can put the two together, that have told me they believe in the chakras and they meditate on the chakras. But if you go to the root of it, in Hinduism, a certain deity, a certain god out of the 330 million gods and goddesses that they worship, a certain god is assigned to each one of those chakras. And so when a Hindu meditates on those chakras, many times that Hindu person will bring up that particular god, that particular deity, as a part of their meditation in order to leave their bodies. I think it's a whole lot safer to do weightlifting and isometrics.
Amen, right? So let me ask you this. Let's say that someone comes out of the New Age, comes out of yoga, and they get saved, and now they're suffering from demonic attacks because of their involvement in yoga. What should that person do?
Well, they do need to approach it like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it was sufficient for me to wage war against those demonic forces myself. In some cases, they might need deliverance by someone who is a balanced. I like to use the word balanced because I have been a part of deliverance groups that went way too far with it.
Okay.
And this particular podcast is not about that, so I'm not going to try and elaborate. But I do believe some people get very unbiblical, but then others go to the other extreme of denying the existence of demons and denying that Christians can come under the influence of the demonic. And so I think there's a balance in between the two extremes. But yes, they need somebody who's walking with God, who's knowledgeable, who's mature, to pray over them. And certainly I welcome them to call our ministry and set up a phone appointment with me. Because as I mentioned, I've had people call me from all over the world. And what the sensation is, sometimes it's very strange, Jenny. Sometimes it even mocks the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where you have uncontrollable physical movements and surges of energy through your body. But the people that experience this can sense the evil origin of it.
Right.
And sometimes it drives them to near insanity because they have these flashes of energy going through their body, through their soul, through their mind, and they feel like their thoughts and their mind are out of their control. And so it can be a very, very big crisis in a person's life. And sometimes it happens just because of what appears to be very innocent dabblings in the New Age. I knew a girl years ago that I prayed for that just messed around with Ouija boards when she was a teenager and started having all kinds of demonic visitations and had to go through deliverance. People need to rid their home of any objects like Buddha statues, or they need to rid their home of any books that are written by New Age authors. I tell people not to get involved in the contemplative prayer movement because sometimes they, and I did say sometimes, mm-hmm. because it's not across the board a constant rule, but some people in the contemplative prayer movement just use the same Buddhist or Hindu techniques at meditation that I did and dress it up in Christian terminology. Because they'll take a prayer word or a Bible word and in a monotone way chant it over and over and over again to empty the mind of all mental activity in order to enter the silence, which is the wrong approach. It's not a biblical approach. God never told us to do that. You can't cite Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God," as a divine instruction to approach him that way. He said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise." And there is a proper kind of biblical meditation, but certainly not by chanting a mantra, even if it is a Bible word. Again, that's witchcraft. It's manipulation through an occult esoteric method. And I explain it this way, Jenny, that if I was talking to you just in a day-to-day conversation, not on this podcast, but if I took a five-word phrase in our conversation and repeated it 100 times in a boring, monotone way, how long are you going to stay in a conversation with me? You're going to label me crazy. You're going to leave the room. You're going to go downstairs and say, "Get this guy out of Charisma Media. He's nuts." Because you're an intelligent human being, and I don't have to repeat the same phrase to you over and over and over again in order to manipulate you to respond to me. Well, God is a whole lot more intelligent than me or you or any other human being. And he does not respond to that. In fact, when Jesus told us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Use not vain repetitions like the heathen do."
Oh, that's good.
Because God is not an impersonal life force that you manipulate with an incantation. God is a personal God that you approach in a very loving way, like your father, like your dearest friend, And that's the kind of approach he responds to.
That's so good. And you brought up a really good point that biblical meditation is so different. So let me ask you, what is the difference between biblical meditation and New Age meditation?
The main thing any person who meditates is looking for is some kind of guidance,
right,
or illumination or enlightenment, what they should do in life or what they should believe. And New Agers tend to believe that if you empty the mind of all mental activity, then you can ascend to higher supernatural planes and somehow have an entrance into the sacred realm by doing it. But biblical meditation, the way I do it, I'll just tell you the way I do it. I very calmly and quietly will meditate on a scripture. I will read a scripture slowly and meditate on the meaning of each statement and then wait for the Holy Spirit to give me added or enhanced unveilings of truth brought forth out of that scripture. And I'll pray the Lord's Prayer as a template, so to speak. I'll say, Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name. But then I'll very slowly go through the names of God and dwell on the meaning of the Lord our healer, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our banner, the Lord our sanctifier, the Lord our peace, and all the various names given to him. And of course, the name above all names, Yeshua. And to me, that's not disengaging the mind. That is drawing the mind into the influence of the Holy Spirit. Your goal is not to sever a connection to the mind or disengage the mind, but rather to subdue mental activity that is full of confusion and distraction. You do want to focus your attention on the Lord, and you don't want to use some kind of method, sitting in the right posture or chanting in the right kind of monotone, because God doesn't respond to that. They were sitting in the upper room when the visitation came. They didn't have to be in a certain position with their legs crossed, et cetera,
right,
like yoga students do. And Moses was just walking by a bush and noticed it was on fire. He wasn't trying to have a mystical experience. And the reason I said that is we can put ourselves in a receptive position to communicate with God in prayer and meditating on his word. But that doesn't confine God to just those kind of environments to speak to us in. Often God interrupts your day. You're driving home in 5 o'clock traffic and suddenly you hear the voice of God. He doesn't have to have some kind of mystical environment in which he can speak. And so he's God, and he's with us all the time. I hope that helped. I hope that was a sufficient answer.
Oh, absolutely. I thought you shared some incredible information, not just in that answer, but throughout the interview. So I want to thank you for that. And now we're almost out of time for our episode today. But Mike, before we go, where can people get more information about you, and where can they get more of your teachings?
Well, my website is shreveministries.org. That's S-H-R-E-V-E, shreveministries.org. And on the front of my website, in fact, is a free gift for all those that are listening today. Down at the bottom of the menu on the front of my website, shreveministries.org, you'll see free ebook. And it's actually a book that goes into great detail about my conversion testimony and the shift from a Christian worldview to from a Far Eastern New Age worldview to a Christian and biblical worldview. And it's called The Highest Adventure, Encountering God. And again, it's free. Anyone can download it, and anyone is welcome to share it with as many people on your Facebook page or in your email list that you want to, especially if you have friends that are searching after truth within New Age spirituality. Also, I have a full-length book, 336-page book, called In Search of the True Light. And it's a comparison of over 20 religions. It's been one of my best-selling books. People have found the Lord all over the world with In Search of the True Light. And it has religious symbols on the front cover. You'll see it in the store on my website. And for those who are Christians who are still dealing with this issue, should I go to a yoga class? Should I not go to a yoga class? I have a small mini book called 7 Reasons I No Longer Practice Hatha Yoga. And it's a very important book that gives 7 reasons why no Christian should practice yoga. And all of those are listed on my website. And, of course, they're on Amazon. And I'm very appreciative of the time today and the time to share the website, shreveministries.org.
Oh, of course. And thank you for sharing what's on your heart for us today. And before we close, would you mind closing us in prayer, that just pray that we would know Jesus better and that the Lord would equip his people with discernment?
I will. And also, Jenny, if it's all right, I'll pray for anyone who may feel that he or she is experiencing some kind of demonic attack on their life because of a former involvement or present involvement in yoga or Eastern religions.
Oh, yes, please.
So, all right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak for all those who are listening prayerfully to this telecast, to this podcast. I pray that you will touch them with the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver them, to set them free, to cleanse them, to enlighten them concerning the truth. Thank you for awakening discernment in every one of us so that we can properly discern the difference between the devil's counterfeit and the true experience of the supernatural power of God. Lord, if there's anyone listening to this prayer right now who feels that he or she has been exposed to demonic influence through yoga, through any kind of New Age practice, I speak deliverance over you right now. I claim the blood of Jesus washing you clean. I command that unclean spirit to depart from your life, and I claim freedom. I declare over you the truth. It is written, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And may that prayer, may that declaration go out to every person listening to this podcast, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, free from depression, free from fear, free from overwhelming confusion, free from sickness, free from disease, free from sin, and free from the world. May the spirit of liberty fill every one of us up. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mike, thank you. It has been a pleasure. And listeners, this has been Mike Shreve. You can find him at shreveministries.org. And be sure to tune in next time. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.